Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Getting today's news cycle started on News Radio WTAM 1100.
If you can't find something for mom, don't blame us. And don't blame us if you overpaid this week. Matt Granite, the deal boss in Channel 3. Watch him there this morning. WTAM.com, keyword safe. Great work this week, pal. And fashion deals. You lined up some of the most popular, best stuff. And you can kiss the shoe this morning.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the nice thing. All week long, whether you were shopping for mom or shopping for yourself, we had you covered. But today, the brands are the exact same thing. If you want to get your mom North Face, Nike, go ahead. You want to treat yourself, this is your day. So big thing that we've noticed all week long is the stores are desperate. They're doing anything they can to try and earn their keep and earn your attention. The first thing that I want to point out, still in stock today, the best jewelry deal I've ever seen in my entire life, Bill. This is what we had right here for Will's Ways to Save on Tuesday. $800 worth of Gemological of Institute of America certified pearls for $59 from Pacific Pearls.
Wow.
Still on. Still barely in stock. WTAM.com keyword save. It's still there if you want to check that out. If you want to make your move from fashion accessories to Nike or North Face, you're going to cut your cost by 60 to 75% today. I've broken down all of the top bargains, WTAM.com, keyword safe.
Wonderful things for mom for Mother's Day, or hey, just do a little early summer shopping to get ready for a trip or something. They're all up there for you. Watch him on 3 this morning, back here same time Monday with great savings. Our deal boss, our buddy Matt Granite. Watch him on 3 this morning, WTAM.com, keyword save. Matt, thanks much. Have a good weekend.
To all the moms, awesome.
Mike Snyder, now he's got your sports mornings at 15 and 45 past on WTAM 1100. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Cavaliers were back on the practice floor yesterday after a couple of days off. Now they can focus in on the Eastern Conference Finals and Game 1 Sunday in Boston. Cavaliers remade their roster on the fly this season. Celtics aren't the same team that began the year as well, as Kevin Love put it.
Been a lot of turnover for our team, and that's well noted, much talked about, but also with the Celtics and just losing Hayward early on in the season, and obviously Kyrie for the playoffs, they've been extremely resilient.
Now, everybody wanted to move on from the Rodney Hood story. As Rodney put it yesterday when asked about his refusal to enter the game for.
So you did not refuse to go in?
Nah, I told them they called my name. They did call my name, but I was like, just let Jose, he was warming up, ready to play, so I just said, let him go in. I should have took it more serious. And went in there and got some reps up, getting a little rhythm.
Yeah, that's what you should have done, Rodney. Anyhow, he said that when he apologized to the team for being a distraction, they laughed at him. I guess basically in the scheme of things they've gone through this year, it ranks pretty low among the distractions that they've had. Ironically, Hood had one of his best games as a Cav against the Celtics back in February. He scored 15 points, so who knows? Maybe he surfaces as a part of the rotation as this series begins. Game 1 is Sunday at 3:30. Of course, we'll have it for you right here with Game 2 then Tuesday night, also in Boston, and the scene won't shift to the queue until a week from tomorrow for Game 3. Indians are back home for the start of a three-game series against the Royals. Trevor Bauer will get the start tonight, 7:10 game time. You can hear it right here. Andrew Miller is expected to be activated today, and hopefully that will be the case. Now, while the Indians had the day off, they gained ground on Minnesota as the Twins' five-game win streak was snapped by the Angels last night, 7-4. So the Indians end of the weekend with a game-and-a-half lead in the division. Golf at the TPC, the Woods Mickelson Fowler group had a rough day. Nobody broke par. Tiger at even, Fowler 2 over, and Phil with that long shirt was 7 over. Dustin Johnson and 5 others shared the lead after round 1 at 6 under par. And the NHL playoffs, the Final 4 is finally set. The Western Finals now will have Winnipeg advancing after winning Game 7 over Nashville. The Jets will now meet Las Vegas for the Western Conference title. Home of the Indians and the Cavs. Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
The Bill O'Reilly joins Glenn Beck following the news at 10 this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. I am sure President Trump, North, South Korea, one of the things they'll be talking about. Here's Trump at a rally in Indy yesterday.
I'll be meeting with Kim Jong-un to pursue a future of peace and security for the world, for the whole world.
President Trump setting the stage. Bill Zimfer joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Bill, good morning. I saw a quote from somebody this morning. Trump right now has got us between nuclear war in the Middle East and maybe a Nobel Peace Prize on the Korean Peninsula. It's amazing what's going on, right?
Yeah, he has just about got it all covered. After the announcement yesterday, June 12th, Singapore, exactly what we thought would happen as President Trump will meet with Kim Jong-un to talk about peace in that part of the world. Meanwhile, in the Middle East, we've got we're on the verge of all heck breaking loose there, Bill, as yesterday, of course, Israel and Iran traded missiles, a little missile swapping going on there. We also have Saudi Arabia now blustering in the region. Yemen could get involved with the Houthi rebels. There is an awful lot going on, and you're right. We span the whole range here from peace to a possible major conflict.
Israeli government seems to go back and forth with elections, liberal, conservative. Netanyahu, he's pretty hardliner over there, right?
Absolutely. And he has let everybody know that Israel has the right to defend itself and, of course, will defend itself. Israel has a long history of doing this type of thing, dating back to the destruction of nuclear facilities in Iraq in 1981, in Syria in 2007. So there's no reason to believe that Israel will not take action once again should Iran begin to develop nuclear capabilities once again.
Interesting stories we're following. Bill Zimfer on the international front this morning. Bill, thanks. Have a good weekend, too, by the way.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Rush Limbaugh. I'm sure these stories will be in his stack of stuff. Catch Rush's take following the news at noon on News Radio WTAM 1100. Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder. Scott Scuderese, producer extraordinaire, alongside funny video here. This is Frankie Lindor. Tell me the story here.
Yes, he got his head shaved from his unbeaten alma mater. The high school team, he made a bet with them. And he said if they didn't go undefeated, which they did, they could shave his head. And they shaved off his blonde top locks.
Check out the video, willsandsnyder.com. So unlike Hugh, who's yet to jump in the lake, right?
Yes.
Frankie said,
I'll pay the bet.
I'll pay the bet.
Frankie went, took a day off, goes back to his high school. Very nice of him to do that. Yes. When is Hugh going to jump in that lake?
I don't know. They go 0-4. That's probably where he's going to head next year. Right?
Go jump in the lake.
0-4, they fire him at Burrito. He goes right to the lake and jumps in. We'll see. That's down the road. Check out the Frankie Lindor video. It's at willsandsnyder.com. Complete Cavaliers coverage, game one. I was talking to Nate, my son, a couple days ago, and I said, what do you think of the Western Conference? The series, the NBA. He's a big NBA fan. So, oh, Dad, I want to see Houston win. I'm so tired of Golden State and Cleveland. I'm like, well, probably Golden State fans may think the same thing. We're tired of seeing Cleveland. We want to see Boston, right?
Probably, yeah.
Probably. Now, you think Golden State is going to beat Houston?
I do, I think we'd all like to see Houston, but I think Golden State will win that series.
3:30, game one, Cavs-Celtics, complete Cavaliers coverage. John Michael will call it. We caught up with John, his take on the matchup, the series.
Well, you know, what's interesting about it is this is the matchup that a lot of people anticipated, you know, this summer after the blockbuster deal was made. But the funny part is that the only player from that big Cavs-Celtics deal who's going to be playing for the Cavs or Celtics in the series is Ante Zizic. That's it. I mean, nobody else is around. I mean, Kyrie Irving is it for the Celtics. And, of course, Isaiah Thomas is gone. Jay Crowder is gone as well. And Cavs still have the pick from that deal. So, interesting matchup. You know, I think you got to give credit to the Celtics. I mean, playing without two of their top injured players. And, of course, Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. They've gotten through two rounds, and it sets up this matchup, which starts in Boston on Sunday afternoon.
Guys, let's talk about Boston, Mike, as far as players and how they're going to play LeBron, because that's going to be the challenge, obviously.
Yeah, and they've got some young athletic forwards like Jason Tatum. They've got Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, also a tough guard. So they've got some different, more athletic players, I think, to run at them than Toronto.
John Michael's take.
They do. I think we're going to see some Morris, too. I think it's going to be, if you ask me, I think Spartan Morris might be the primary defenders on LeBron. And that's the big question, Mike. I mean, the fundamental question when you play a LeBron James-led team is, do you have the player or players who can slow him down? You know, and if you don't, it's going to be a short series. That's the Raptors. They've been looking for three seasons now for a way to slow down LeBron James, and they still haven't found the answer for that. And that's why the Cavs are sitting around waiting for the Eastern Conference Finals after a sweep. So, yeah, they're going to have to throw a variety of players at LeBron and see. You know, you and I had this conversation, Mike. I think the Cavs might need one more bench guy to step up, just one more player to show that he's able to play in the postseason and play under the bright lights We've seen the play out of Jeff Green, who really has amped up his game after an uneven Pacers series. A couple of guys looking to step up. It could be Larry Nance. Could be Jordan Clarkson if he steadies the ship a little bit. Maybe even guys who we saw in Jose Calderon coming off the bench in game four against the Raptors for this team. Jetty Osmond is another option as well. Maybe one or two more players who show that they're able to play in that rotation and play regularly. We'll see coming into this Celtics series. But, man, the Cavs appear to be getting better and better as these playoffs progress, and I think that's a good trend, obviously a good sign for this team.
Now, speaking of other players, Mike Snyder, give me a note or two on Rodney Hood. Doesn't want to go in, kind of waved it off, let the other guy play. How was that handled?
Well, here's what I perceive it. They just want to move on. They don't think it was as big a deal as it became.
All right.
Here's the irony. Hood's one of his best games as a Cav was against Boston. So don't rule out seeing him get a chance maybe to redeem himself in this series.
Another name maybe, John Michael, George Hill.
5-0 after his return. George Hill didn't play games 4 through 6 in that Pacers series. He was banged up too. Remember, he hurt his back in game one. An illegal screen by Trevor Booker decked him, and he really wasn't quite right the entire series. And if you ask me, I mean, George Hill in that game 7 against the Pacers checked in with 7-12 remaining in the third quarter for the first time, didn't play in the first half, played the rest of the game. He was that effective. And if the Cavs don't have George Hill, we're all on summer vacation right now. I mean, the Cavs don't win that series if it wasn't for Hill and the contributions of Tristan Thompson in that game. So I completely agree with you, Mike. The turnover differential and points off turnovers in that Toronto series was drastic, and in huge part because of George Hill. And it was a Toronto team that was fourth best in the NBA in terms of committing the fewest turnovers in the league during the regular season. The Cavaliers handily won that battle. Huge reason why the Cavs swept, and a big part, if you ask me, I completely agree with you, was the presence of George Hill.
Now, Boston has left the Bucks and the Sixers to the side of the road. And Pacers and Raptors, of course, watched us go through. It all starts Sunday, Eastern Conference Finals at Boston. First two games, right, Mike Snyder?
That's right. Yep. 3:30 Sunday and then 8:30 on Tuesday night.
We'll have it for you here on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Later this morning at 8:20, the take from Jim Jones.
Yeah, this one, it's sort of similar to the plot of Back to School, if you remember that movie with Rodney Dangerfield back in the 80s. Not a remake, but it's similar to her sort of thing where she plays sort of this adorable mom who takes her daughter to her senior year in college, and then her husband tells her that he wants a divorce, and she's left in the lurch and decides to go back to finish her degree in college, so her and her daughter kind of end up doing a senior year together, with her, of course, being that fish out of water, sort of absurd screwball comedy. Not as crazy and as you would expect for something like you that has a tradition of like Animal House or Revenge of the Nerds. A little bit softer. Now, Melissa McCarthy, I think, is very funny. I think she's good in the movie. The problem is it's directed by Ben Falcone, which is her husband. He co-wrote it with her. He did movies like Tammy and The Boss. And those movies, I don't particularly like him as a director. I don't think all the jokes land as they should, but you know what, at the screening I saw it and everyone else seemed to think it was good.
Melissa McCarthy, interesting actress. I mean, obviously she's done, you know, funny stuff on SNL and all, and she can make you laugh. She likes different roles, right?
Yeah, and she does some dramatic stuff. I'm glad to see her stretching her wings a bit in these movies lately, because when she first came on the scene, she came on very strong with the obnoxious, brazen, brash, and foul-mouthed character, and they did a whole bunch of movies like that, but she's so much more than that, and you're starting to see her in more dramatic stuff, which is great, because I think she's a fantastic performer.
She played the mom that was next to, in St. Vincent, Maggie, and I thought, I mean, that was a really good movie, too, but she was good in that, too.
Yep.
All right. Another one out this weekend, Kevin, Breaking In, tell me about it.
Well, this one starts Gabrielle Union as a woman who has two kids, and she's going to the house where her father had lived, and her father was a sort of like a high-class criminal who had, sort of this safe house mansion type thing out in the middle of the woods, and she's trying to settle the estate after he dies or is killed, and then these criminals break into the house to try and get some stuff that's stashed there, and puts her family in danger, and she's separated from them, and she's trying to save them, sort of the mother doing whatever she can to save her kids. Now, it's basically, it's your basic home invasion kind of movie,
yeah.
But overall it works for that.
And the police never get there?
Oh, they're way, 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 way out in the middle of nowhere, and yeah, they got the alarm that can go off, but yeah, they tell you pretty obviously, you have 90 minutes, and then the police are going to show up.
Breaking in, also Life of the Party with Melissa McCarthy out this weekend. Kevin Carr is at fatguysthemovies.com. Big week next week, Deadpool 2, and then another week we get to the new Star Wars story, right?
That's right, yeah. I mean, it's going to be it's a Marvel week, or a Marvel month from both Fox and Marvel, and then... Yeah, you got Star Wars coming. First Star Wars springtime release in years.
Kevin Carr is at fatguysthemovies.com. Check his site out before you get out and rent something or head to the movies this weekend. Good stuff. Kevin, thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Graduate Benedictine, 8-time Ohio Sports Writer of the Year, columnist with The Plain Dealer, and a little worried maybe about our tribe. Terry Pluto on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Good morning, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
All right, before we get to Cavs-Celtics Game 1, guys, let's talk some tribe. Terry, you wrote and posted this year compared to last year. They're 18-18. You got the division right in front of you. Kansas City, then Detroit. Let's win some games, and I want to get rid of your worry. Why are you concerned?
Because the bullpen has been just enough to just drive you nuts pretty much for most of the season. And I wish I felt a little better about some of the prospects of guys they had in terms of, boy, this guy could come up and help in middle relief, or that guy could do something. You know, one of my thoughts is to put Tomlin in the bullpen for that middle relief, partly because he's struggling as a starter, and also it might help them. And he has pitched in the bullpen in the past.
Terry, you look at the team, and you're right. You don't want to lull yourself into thinking, well, we got this division, because it is really weak. Only Minnesota, I think, is a contender at all for the tribe. But that could kind of lull you, couldn't it?
It could, and if you want to go anywhere in the postseason, you better have a fairly solid bullpen to a great bullpen, because that is what carried them in 2016. And I understand with Miller being out, that's been clearly a big issue, but some of the guys that were supposed to help them get to Miller haven't performed. And really, I will tell you this, even if they had Brian Shaw from a year ago, yes, the bullpen be better, but if you look at how McAllister has pitched and Olsen and some of those other guys who were very good last year, they would still be having some problems, Mike, because, you know, that sixth, seventh inning would be a mess.
That is true, and Shaw has struggled in Colorado from what I understand. The thing about that, though, Terry, I do believe as you get into July that you can find those arms. They'll become available for that role. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I believe also the front office will be pretty aggressive about trying to do that. When Chris Antonetti said the other day that, you know, you don't see many teams making trades in May, it's true, they don't. Baseball teams are often like most people. They really don't do something until they feel they really have to. And so that's what I'm not down on the front office that they haven't done anything or whatever. I'm just disappointed that several of these guys that they thought would come through haven't. I mean, who has been one positive surprise in the bullpen? Name one.
No, there isn't one. There really isn't. You're right.
And you're talking about seven guys out there.
Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, Kansas City for the weekend. We got Trevor Bauer tonight, 7:10 first pitch. Okay, game one Sunday. Cavs-Celtics, we got them where we want them, right, Terry?
Well, I'm just glad they're in there playing, that's all. You know, after the Indiana series, and of course I think the Celtics in some ways, after going through seven through Milwaukee, feel the same way. I mean, it's a remarkable thing. If you were to dial back, you know, a year ago to May when these two teams played, you know, there's Isaiah Thomas with the Celtics and Kyrie with the Cavs, and now both of those guys are having surgery, they're not even here, and Boston has only four guys left from the end of last season. The Cavs have five. So it's the same, but there's a lot of differences, too.
It's the same, but it's really different. We sound like Yogi Berra.
Right.
When you look at a matchup, is there anyone, obviously, anytime it's what they'll try to do with LeBron, but beyond that, Terry, anything else that jumps at you? I'm kind of looking at how Love plays maybe against Horford. Your thoughts?
Love it with Horford, and also they could put Baines or some of those other guys on him. I think they'll try to rough him up. You know, if you're Boston, basically, all you're doing is taking all those tapes from Indiana, and you're going to double down on how physical they played, and you're going to be a little more athletic with Tatum and some of their other players and see if you could beat them. I do think it's critical, though, that for Boston's sake, that they win both games against Cleveland and Boston, because I just think they've only won one road game in these playoffs so far. They're a totally different team at home. And for the Cavs, even if they come out with a split, I think they're in great shape, despite the fact Boston has the home court.
I do think, as we've seen this play out, George Hill is a key component.
Yep.
You go back even into Indiana, I think Coach Lou brought it up, those games where they just were kind of slipping away and LeBron was carrying him, those were games that Hill was out. And if you go back to Game 7, Terry, he kind of saved the day in that third quarter when he came in and finished it off for the Cavs that day.
Right, he had 11 points in 19 minutes. The remarkable thing for a guy with a bad back, he kept going to the basket. Remember, I think he was 9 of 11 at the foul line. Right, basically they're 5-0 since he came back. I mean, there's a stat there, and he's been starting. And so I really do. I'm going to be curious to see how he holds up, because, you know, they got those physical guards at Marcus Smart, mm-hmm. some of those other guys, and. You know, this is, as they say, this is a man's game right now. They can be pounding on each other.
You heading to Boston?
And I am going to Boston.
We will follow you on Twitter, at Terry Pluto, and we'll check in again with you on Tuesday morning, okay?
Take care, guys.
Thanks, partner. Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, on your teams. More on the Tribe with Andre Knott at 7:20. We getting Miller back? Do we know tonight?
Not officially yet. Maybe Andre can give us some info. Right. We talked with Rosie yesterday. He said, well, they're kind of looking, but right. they'll err on the side of caution, which they should with a hamstring. Especially.
Andre at 7:20. We'll ask him how he checks in for AAA Advanced Plumbing. Hi, Andre.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Important stuff first. Did I see your better half had a birthday?
Yes, she did. She had a birthday yesterday. Her aunt, well, it depends what you mean, at work or at home, because Underwood's 50th birthday was yesterday as well. They share the same date.
I wasn't going to bring Matt up, but happy birthday to Matt Underwood. And your lovely bride is Mike and I. You joined the Married Up Club.
So. And you got home when you were home for Jen's birthday.
Yeah, I got home for her birthday and everything else.
Very sometimes good.
Sometimes the schedule maker actually comes through in the clutch.
Good planning on that schedule, Dre.
Good man. Yeah. Hey, before we talk to Tribe, I mentioned this to Mike, and I tweeted this story. David Price, let me get this right, he's being paid $215 million, seven-year contract, Cy Young Award winner. He is shut down, they think, with this carpal tunnel, and oh, by the way, he plays video games?
Yeah, this has been something that I know in the clubhouse was talked about a little bit when the team was on the road and amongst many people. To admit that could be the reason why, I don't think we'll go over really well, especially when he misses a start against the New York Yankees. And last year, you know, he questioned a little bit some of his teammates and things like that. Just not exactly what you want to go out for. Now, I know Mike Clevenger plays Fortnite a lot, and I know when we were in Milwaukee, the Brewers were actually playing the game on their Jumbotron or on their big screen. I'll be interested to see how many guys are willing to show that they're still playing the game after seeing what's happened with David Price.
Oh, boy. How'd you like to explain that one to Bob Feller, Andre?
Oh, man. He's rolling over his grave right now, using words I can't use.
Hey, Dre, Francisco Lindor, quite a gesture yesterday. His day off, he goes back to his high school for an assembly to get his head shaved because he told the kids there, you have a perfect season, I'll let you shave my head. It's just another example of the way Francisco just gets it, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's Frankie being Frankie. I know that he's Linda, you know, the field that down there is named after him now. They also have got a kid that's going to go in the top 10 of the draft that's a shortstop. That reminds a lot of people of Frankie. He's a little bigger than Frankie. It does. It just tells you a lot about Frankie's attitude, how much he wants to help. This is one of those stories we've had in our back pocket for a while, and it actually made me keep up with high school baseball in Florida. So we're not surprised, but like you said, this is just Frankie and just connecting with people throughout the world, whether it be in Puerto Rico or whether it be, you know, in Orlando, in the area where he grew up the second half of his life.
Andre, what are you hearing in terms of Andrew Miller?
Looks like we should find out something probably around 2:30, 3 o'clock today. Yesterday they tested the strength in his leg to see how strong he was. I know there's been some back and forth amongst the medical team. And Andrew feels like he's ready to come off the DL. I think the team doctors have been more or less saying, let's see how strong the leg actually is. They want him maybe to throw again. So I'd say about mid-afternoon we should know. But if it's up to Andrew and Tito, I think he'll come off the DL.
Andre, what's your vibe with the team right now? They're at 500. We kind of similar to where they were a year ago at this time. We know the division and what it is. Really, the Twins are the only team, I think, that has a shot at contending with them. What's your feeling for them? We're all kind of waiting for them to get it going here. You don't really just get lulled, I think, by knowing you've really pretty much got this division.
Yeah, that's the issue I think the Indians are going to have this year. You know, the motivation to, you know, it's not like the AL East. It's not like the NL East. They are the best team in this division. They haven't played the best baseball. They haven't been complete all year long. The thing about Tito is his patience is unlike any other manager or coaches that I've ever seen. You know, but the players are aware. You know, Lindor just said to me a couple of days ago, he goes, hey, our pitchers carried us for the first month. The hitters just haven't caught up. And then you get the injury with Andrew Miller that you mentioned. And then the bullpen has struggled for about 10 days. But like you said, Tito's teams, for whatever reason, always have played better in the second half. But I know that doesn't make Tito and the coaching staff just sit back and say everything is going to be okay. They're going to keep pushing, and they're going to keep trying to hit the right buttons. Because this team should be, no matter what division they're in, no matter who they've played, no matter how the schedule's been, they're better than a 500 team, and they haven't played that way. And I know it's been frustrating with the weather. They've relied on the long ball. I think they've scored the most runs in baseball from it in home runs. They've given up more home runs than I think any of us expected to see them give up. And hopefully this is one of those conversations we look back at it 2 months and we laugh at it.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't played complete baseball at all.
Trevor Bauer takes on Jason Hamill tonight. Gagliotto.com Tribe Insider with Nick Camino at 6 on News Radio WTAM 1100, home of the Tribe. Where you can see Andre and his take on Fox Sports with the guys, with the birthday boy, Underwood, with the broadcast as well. All right, Andre, thanks much. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, boys. Take care.
A little golf now. Round one of the Players. A lot of people think it's the fifth major being played at the TPC Jacksonville. And Don Pagin, our golf guy, runs the Bridgestone Invitational at Firestone. I think they got 49 of the top 50 players in the world this week. And Don, good morning. A great reminder. A lot of these players we see and talk about will probably be on the list, invited, qualify for Bridgestone later this summer, right?
Well, good morning, Bill. You're right. August 1st through the 5th at Firestone, we will have all the top players in the world competing. And the one thing about our event, too, there's no cut. So we have about 80 players. They'll be there all 4 days. So all your favorite players will be around Northeast Ohio. Encourage everybody to come out and watch them this summer.
Before we get to what didn't happen, what did happen? Jason Hadley at 7-under. Patrick's in there. Dustin Johnson. Matt Kuchar all 6-under as well yesterday. Your take from round one, Don?
Well, there was quite a few low scores, but then we saw some of the stars shoot some high scores. So it's pretty indicative of the golf course. If you're on, if you're hitting fairways and greens, you don't see those water, those peat dive bulkheads quite as much. But if you're a little bit off, it's probably a difference of maybe 30 feet if you're going to make birdie, if you're going to make double bogey. But Dustin Johnson won our event at Firestone a couple years ago, U.S. Open champ. He's world number one. He's got three guys that could overtake him this week, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, and Justin Rose. So I think Dustin's got a little extra motivation to hold on to that world number one spot, and he showed it with 66 yesterday.
Don, when you look at Tiger, who was at even par, everybody wants to know what he's up to. As you observe him, where do you see him, I guess in today's vernacular, how do you see him trending right now with his game?
Well, you know, he started off slow on the front nine, was a couple over, but then on the ninth hole, all of a sudden jumped up and made an eagle. A couple birdies, couple bogeys on the back. TPC Sawgrass, although he's won there a couple times, it's not his ideal golf course because it's hard for him to overpower it. A little shorter, a little tighter. He's close. He's right there knocking on the door. It wouldn't surprise me to see him win later this summer, or at very least get some more top 10 finishes. We're all keeping our fingers crossed for that so he can qualify for Firestone and go for his ninth win at the Bridgestone Invitational here in Northeast Ohio.
So overall, you like what you see in terms of the way his game is progressing, considering how long he was away from competing?
Yeah, no question. I mean, if you'd have looked where he was in January and February, people were wondering if he was ever going to even compete on the tour again. But he got a couple top five finishes in Florida. I think even Golf Channel talked about they would definitely give him an A the last few months, and if we get a win, we'd give him an A+ as a grade the last few months. So he's right there knocking on the door.
I know I asked you yesterday, Don, about number 17. I think 27, that's the island hole for someone listening. The island hole, I think, gobbled up the water. I think gobbled up 27 balls yesterday, I think. That wind must have been blowing.
Yeah, you know, that golf course is just tough. It can jump up and bite you. I mean, Sergio Garcia had it 7-under, was leading the golf tournament. Double bogey on 17, bogey on 18. Phil Mickelson was even par through 13 holes, finishes 7-over. So there's just a fine line at TPC Sawgrass, and got to be careful. You got to watch what you're doing because you never know when it might strike.
Phil, like Snyder, breaks 80, though, 79 yesterday, although Phil not happy. That long-sleeve shirt, I think, might have been a bit of the problem, but that's beside the point. Bridgestone Invitational, they'll all be at Firestone South August 2nd, right?
They will. You can get tickets at BridgestoneInvitational.com. If mom likes golf, it's a good Mother's Day gift. 18 and under is free, so you could come out and enjoy the tournament with her. And it's also a good idea for dad for next month for Father's Day. So August 1st through the 5th, BridgestoneInvitational.com.
Don Pageant, Bridgestone Invitational. Thanks, partner.
Thanks, guys. 1, 2, 3,
we have everything it takes to win.
Or take mom to the Cavs watch party Sunday at the Q. 3:30, they'll be in Boston. The $5 and then get you in. Let's talk Cavs on News Radio WTAM E1100. Complete Cavaliers coverage. A legend, member of the 1980 World Champion LA Lakers. You hear him on the broadcast with John Michael. Of course, Jim Jones joins us this morning. Brought to you by Huntington, one of the bank that believes in looking out for its customers. Welcome to Huntington, Jim. Good morning. We have made
morning.
It to the Eastern Conference Finals, and I don't want to take that for granted. First of all, let's enjoy this ride. But it we got to get going again Sunday, right?
Yeah, we do, and they're going to be fine. You know, Luke talked all season, and we just kept saying, oh, yeah, you know, about getting healthy. And getting healthy, plus the changes in the roster, is unprecedented. When a team during the season can get rid of 7-8 players and still be in the playoffs, that has never been done in our sport. I don't think it's been done in any sport where you can get rid of 7 players, bring in 4, and then still be a competitive team.
It really is amazing when you think of where we began and here we are now. When you look at the roster, Jim, when we look at things now, and I go back to Game 7 against Indiana and then taking care of business against the Raptors, a big addition in all of that has been a healthy George Hill. Jim, why is it so important to have Hill out there in terms of taking away some of the ball-handling responsibilities away from LeBron?
Well, I think that's the main thing, Mike. I think that's the main thing. You know, his ability to give LeBron a rest, not necessarily when LeBron's on the bench, but when LeBron's on the floor, he can play off the ball where he's probably the best at in the game and playing off the ball where he can move and cut and occupy his man and everybody else has to know where he is. It leaves the game open for other players as far as one-on-one ability. The other thing that he also does is the point guard or the backcourt sets the tone for your defense. And your defensive pressure in the front court is what makes it work in the backcourt. You know, his ability to ball pressure. We've never had a player who could play Lowry physical for physical. And if you watch that series, he wore Lowry down because even though Lowry scored, he never gave in. He stayed aggressive on him. His ability to switch, his ability at length, he got rebounds, and he found Kevin Love. That two-man game with Kevin Love and George Hill was a beautiful thing to watch.
Jim, you touched on something with LeBron. It's not only when you rest on the floor, but the great players find a way to stay on the floor and still conserve some energy, don't they?
Yeah, they do. You know, they do. If you think about LeBron's career, he's always had the ball. And in doing so, that's hard to do, Mike, you know, to create your own offense and create offense for someone else, you know, because you got to have the ball. But anytime you take the ball out of LeBron's hands and make him play off the ball, now teams have to make a serious adjustment because the focus of their defense has always been on his ball dominance, all their rotations, how they're going to play his penetration possibilities. So
So when he's off the ball, what do you do now when you've got George Hill, who can not only create for himself and finish at the rim and transition and then the half court, but can also create for players like Kevin Love and Korver? I thought he was magnificent in the last game where he and Love in that two-man game, Love went back to Minnesota shooting that little mid-range jump around the elbow and then getting the ball to Love in the post. All of that stuff works for us.
Jim, when you look at Boston, what problems do they present maybe that we've not seen from Indiana or Toronto?
Well, I've always said that your best player can't be your coach. And the way they're throwing laurels on this coach and he hasn't won anything, you know, you can be distracted. But if you stay focused on the game, they do a couple of things very well. And the first thing is they play together. And that makes them tough. They're highly skilled. To their own detriment, they don't have a lot of experience. They're not a physical team. They're an aggressive team. And we don't have a problem with aggressive teams. You know, where we struggled as the Pacers was the level of physicality. So I think we have a distinct advantage. But getting back to Lou, Mike, before we finish, there's three things that Lou wanted to accomplish that he has. We have threats on offense at all five positions when LeBron is on the floor. Now you have to pick your poison. The other thing is the switchability on defense. We can switch everything 1 through 5 now. Even with Kevin Love on the floor, we can switch 1 through 5. So you can always keep the ball in front of you. The other thing is LeBron is playing at a high level. Those three things make it almost impossible for this Celtics team to beat us.
Cavs Celtics game 1 Sunday afternoon, 3:30 tip. Catch it here on News Radio, WTAM 1100, home of the Cavaliers. Jim Jones, John Michael with the call, and Mike Snyder on the coverage Sunday. Jim, have a good trip to Boston.
Thank you,
guys. Get a couple wins. Thanks, pal.
Okay, bye.
Ohio and a part of our Tribe coverage brought to you by Falls Motors. Sitting in his spare time, he picks horses, and he did well last weekend, too.
Not bad, right, boys?
So justify, what, a week from tomorrow, right? Back at it, you think?
In the Preakness, yeah.
In the Preakness.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see now with 2 or 3 to 1 favorites. So, I'm pulling for him. You want to see a chance to get the Triple Crown, especially at Belmont.
All right. I'll ask you officially next Friday.
Yeah, all right.
All right. Before we get to some Tribe, I tweeted this story out. I find this fascinating. Red Sox pitcher David Price, who is being paid $215 million, is being shut down, carpal tunnel, and, oh, by the way, he plays video games. What do you make of this?
Well, he was my former roommate in college, too, at Vanderbilt, so the video game's not a surprise. So for those that just don't understand what carpal tunnel is, I mean, the main symptoms, you have pain, numbness, a little tingling, and the thumb, index, and middle fingers, and maybe even sometimes in the ring fingers, too. So if you think about pitching, guys, obviously that's going to affect your grip and be able to affect your chances to have great command and just even go throw the baseball. So they say this is the best case scenario for what it could have been. I know a lot of people were worried within the organization that it could be a UCL, possible Tommy John issue. This is not the first time it's happened for him, but yeah, I mean, we've seen guys, all the way back to Joel Zumaya, if you guys remember that, the reliever for Detroit was playing Guitar Hero and had to be shut down because of his elbow issues. So nothing new here, but certainly one of those injuries that if you're paying that amount of money, Wilsey, you can understand the frustration from Red Sox Nation.
Well, Jensen, we look at the players, and I guess this game, Fortnite, that they're playing, they were playing on the scoreboard in Milwaukee, the Brewers players. Guys have a lot of time at the ballpark. I think a lot of people don't understand that they see a game begin at 7:10 or whatever. They think maybe, yeah, they show up, there's BP at 5:30, and they go. But there is a lot of time that guys spend of the ballpark. Who'd have thought a video game could be a problem here? But really, guys do look for different little things to do when they're in the clubhouse, right?
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, back in the time that I was playing, it was a lot of card games, and then that was just kind of when video games were exploding as something that guys did in their downtime. So I think for where we are now in this digital age, you got guys on their phones all the time, and if you think about just all of us, when you're texting, or if you're one of those people that plays games on your phones, I mean, it would make sense that if you're doing it for hours on end, for weeks, that those are going to be things that can possibly happen. But one of the weirder injuries, again, guys, in sports that is costing the Red Sox one of their top pitchers.
All right, Jensen, the Indians are almost at that 40-game mark. I think that's always a kind of a barometer point where you take a look at your team. So they're four games away from that number. 18-18, we know they're better than this. We're waiting for them to take off. What's your concern as you look at this team day to day? Do you have a concern for this team right now?
Yeah, I think we all would agree that somebody to get the ball to Andrew Miller and Cody Allen is going to have to be addressed. Now, whether that is internally or whether that's externally, it remains to be seen. And I know throughout the week I've done a bunch of interviews where people are saying, well, what do you do? And I say, listen, if you had a great alternative, you'd be going to it right now. But the Indians just don't, and no one has really stepped up to get those outs in those leverage situations. That being said, you know, remember back in 2016 where it was only Brian Shaw and Cody Allen, and they had to figure out this same problem. It ended up being Jeff Manship before they went out and acquired Andrew Miller at the trade deadline. So this is not a new problem for this team. But as you mentioned, in this division with how bad it is, you know, the Indians at 500 are up a game and a half right now, and the Twins going into play tonight. I think they're going to take this. As you said, Snides, you know, you get to that bellwether point, you get to Memorial Day and kind of reevaluate your squad. That's where I think this front office will be at, because right now, outside of three or four teams, everybody's in the race. So no one's really going to be selling any of those premium relievers that the Indians would want to acquire with an eye on getting deep in the postseason.
7:10, first pitch tonight. You guys on before the game?
Yeah, we'll see you at 6:30. Again, whenever we go outside, it seems like the temperature just wants to drop. So we'll be in those illustrious Fox jackets again.
Tell Underwood happy birthday, too, by the way.
Will do. Number 50. You know, it makes me feel old, too, thinking that he's 50. Gosh, I'm creeping up there. I'll be 34 next week.
Right? And give your mom a hug, or at least call her Sunday, okay?
She'll be in the ballpark. She's coming, nice. And excited to have her there on Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
All right, Mark Namey, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Got to hand it to you. Stuck at this and finally got at least a part of the puzzle, what we were offering for Amazon. Now, nobody's going to bring me into court today because we're talking about this, but you had to really push this thing, didn't you?
Yeah, we filed a complaint with the Ohio Court of Claims, which handles public records requests. This is a way that's been set up for the public and media outlets, a cheaper way to try to get records that we believed were not, you know, should be disclosed according to the law. And we finally got a ruling in our favor, and the agency we were seeking the records from chose not to appeal it.
All right, now let me, I'm playing bad cop here for just a minute. This is Armin Budish, county exec.
There are people, private owners, that did not want, do not want to this day, it to be known to the public that they were offering their properties.
And let's be fair, you and I are reporters. We're just talking about this story. Budish and others say, look, we don't want this information out because we don't want people to know what was going on. But on the other hand, we do need to know what's going on, Mark?
Yeah, for two reasons. I've made the case in columns, and other media have made the arguments in their fight to get records, is that, A, to give any honest evaluation of the city's pitch, we need to know what the details are, because there are so many public subsidies related to the proposal. And I understand that, you know, the need that a private property owner didn't want this out because they didn't probably tell their tenants that their building might have been up on the block. But that is the risk that comes with such a potentially lucrative deal. But you can't have public officials promising public dollars and then saying, you know what, we're not going to tell you what we did, because once, if we were to get it, it's too late. There isn't a lot of time for the due diligence and scrutiny from the public side. And we and others are continuing to fight both Armin Budish and Mayor Jackson's office for those public incentives. There is no legal reason that they're not giving it out. They cannot defend it other than they don't want you to see it.
Mark Namey, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. For another minute here, we know the Terminal Tower, one of the buildings they talked about, as well as the what's known as the old post office plaza, if you will. But this not the whole picture of what we offer in Amazon, is that right?
Correct. We don't know what the public incentives are, meaning tax breaks, specific tax breaks. If you look around the country, people have offered everything from, you know, $100 million to a couple billion dollars. Tax breaks. Clearly, we would have been offering something, whether it would have been income or property. And those details are things they've kept close, and something that we feel, even more than the actual site, should be released. And on the site, Bill, there were other properties considered. They reference it in their, but they settled on this because they were closest to what they believed was a big deal, a selling point, which is the transportation aspects. Amazon obviously is very much into that idea of moving that many employees a lot easier than just getting in a car. So we don't know whether it was IX Center or lakefront property, but those things were considered.
All right.
And this is what we know so far, and we're going to keep at it.
Old-fashioned reporting. Got to hand it to him. Mark Namey, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Big story we're following this morning. He finally got the records on what we were offering Amazon. Mark, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.